The Leafs game, it wasn't the greatest game in the world. It was one that Calgary had to have. You know, they had a good start. I didn't think the Leafs played poorly last night. But the injuries are what they are. I don't get the impression like Freddie will be back tomorrow night. I'm not sure that Hyman or Muzzin or Thornton will be back tomorrow night either. So what are we dealing with when we drop the puck against Calgary tomorrow? To tee that up and look back on the game last night, we're joined now on the Maple Toyota Hotline by our TSN hockey analyst. Here is Ray Ferraro. What did you make of that last night, Ray?
That, to me anyway, looked like a team that looked around the room and went, wow, we're missing a lot of guys. And they had played so well for a while that just kind of was flat, lethargic, not like no zip. There was no zip last night. And then they were sloppy. They were beating the thing up all over the place. They, you know, just very un-Toronto-like what had been for the past month, basically. You know, they get off to the bad start, and now they haven't been behind in quite a while. And I just didn't think they played very well last night. You know, pretty much across the board, they didn't get to where they needed to get to.
Ray, I don't think John Tavares is playing his best hockey right now. Actually, I don't believe it's close. But I'm not going to go full Toronto and just say this is ridiculous, the contract, he's the captain, blah, blah, blah. What do you think can happen for him to kind of snap out of it and have some success? Is there like a line mate change or a different scenario for him? Or is it just he has got to pull himself out of this? His stats aren't like ridiculously bad. But we saw last night, if the two big guys aren't going, someone else has got to provide offense. And he is one of those guys that's got to do it.
I said yesterday, I don't think he gets the puck moving enough. I don't think he's moving enough on the ice. And when he's moving, he seems to get the puck and it becomes an anchor. Like he's just looking for the next play. He's trying to plod his way and think his way instead of just go play. Like I don't find him, not that he's going to ever run over people, but I don't find him involved enough. It's like he's on the fringes thinking about where he needs to be. Could he benefit from playing with Marner? Hell, you and I could benefit from playing with Marner. And, you know, you're, what are you, 45 today, O?
I am. Thank you for mentioning that.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, pal.
I think Marner could find you a tally.
Well, getting around on the ice is a small problem right now.
Yeah, but that's why. You could take your time, and he could wait for you. But I don't know. Like, you're not going to take Matthews and Marner apart.
No.
Why would you do that? So, like, at some point, you know, he's a good enough player to be able to create something, to create enough chances. But I don't even, that didn't even really happen until late last night when, you know, they put him back in the middle and he was with Nylander and Barabanov. But, like, that's what, he's got to generate it. He's got to generate it with his feet. He's got to move more. I don't see that happening on a regular basis for him.
No, I'm with you. And I think Marner's comment today was a little bit, you know, it was honest, but he essentially said it was a little bit weird with Matthews and Tavares, and I kind of got the impression it was like, you know, we got our own thing going on, like, let's just keep rolling with Mitch and in Austin, and, you know, John, you got to figure it out on your own in a way. And as much as we talk about William Nylander, we bring him up constantly, he's more of a polarizing player, and there are more fans on both ends of the spectrum, player fans that love him, fans that don't. Tavares is more important to the overall success. Like, he is the guy, we all know what Matthews is bringing and what he will continue to bring. We know what Marner brings and what he will continue to bring. Willie, I think you got to have it. I think if you want to win 16 games in the spring, Nylander's got to be a factor. But Tavares has got to be, like, a step below Matthews. Not, like, a massive chasm between the two.
Yeah, but saying that statement, Brian, he's not going to be a step on. Matthews is one of the best players in the game. He's never going to play his best game when you're like, that's right below Matthews right now. That's unattainable in my professional opinion.
Well, listen, I the way Matthews has elevated his game this year, that might be true. But I don't think we should just accept that John Tavares is now a middle of the pack second line.
I totally agree.
Like, and that's not acceptable.
He does have to dig himself out of that. But to say he's got to be a step below, it's like,
I think James to win 16 games in the spring, I think you need You need Sid and Gino. Gino wasn't Sid, but he wasn't far behind.
How about go ahead, Ray.
Oh, I was just going to say every time I think of Tavares, it's impossible to separate it, even though people, you know, say one shouldn't matter, but you're paying him $11 million, right?
Yep.
He has to produce. That's too big a hit in the middle of your lineup to say, a cap hit, to say, oh, yeah, he can be a secondary scorer, he can be a support player. No, he can't. Your team is built financially around those guys being the offensive leaders. And O was right earlier, like the numbers are, they look fine, but they're not. He's got two even strength goals this year. Like that's just, he needs to be better and is better than that. And as we talked yesterday, maybe the great comfort of all of this is the Leafs have got, they've lost four times. And he hasn't had a great start.
Well, Ray, just to stay on this Tavares topic, you know, the way I look at it is he's a guy that puts a lot of pressure on himself because he always wants to be the go-to guy. And I still think he can be very productive, but I think it's safe to say that the torch on this team has been passed to Matthews and Marner, and he doesn't have to be that guy to lead the team in scoring or be the go-to guy for production. He still has to be very productive, but okay, he's going in a little bit of a slump right now, but there's still a lot of intangibles that he brings outside of the productivity.
Right, but he's, don't you think, like, you've got to accept that? Like, you've got to go, yeah, I can, that's me now. And, you know, he always appears to be wound pretty tight. Like, he wants to produce. You can see it in his face, right? Some guys, they'd like to produce. He wants to produce. And it's different to not be the go-to guy. Because he's not. I mean, the go-to guys are Matthews and Marner.
Yeah.
But he, as Brian mentioned earlier, like, he cannot be a support guy in the spring. Like, eventually, Matthews and Marner are not going to score at this pace. Like, Matthews is not going to score every game.
Yeah.
It may look like it, but nobody else does, so why is he going to be different? So at some point, that line has to jump. The Tavares line. It has to jump. And, you know, last night was a game where, you know, I was a little surprised they went with Tavares on the wing to start. You know, that caught me off guard. With the changes that were going to happen, I still didn't think that's where they were going to go. And clearly after two periods, it hadn't worked.
Well, Ray, let's talk about them loading up that top line. This is the second time they've tried that. They did it in Game 5 of the playoffs last year against Columbus, and they did it last night, trying to spark some offense and put all the eggs in one basket. And both times they get shut out, and not only just because they get shut out with their line, but the depth of this team gets exposed.
Right, so that, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about, at our course, there's this par 5 that I keep trying to make in 2, and I should stop.
Yes, because I buddy. Don't. Because how many times you hit it? You go in the drink, don't you?
Pull out the
Yeah,
forearm,
and I'm like, well, why not just lay up in front? Because it feels like such a weak play. However, I'd still have the same ball, and I'd have a birdie chance instead of having to go to the drop area. So
why don't you do a hazy B, Ray, and lay up to a hunge and absolutely dig the blade of that wedge into the soil? Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Right over the ball.
Oh. You end up in the water anyway, but with an extra stroke.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ray. Sorry to interrupt.
So it hasn't worked twice. There's no need to go back to it again. I can see why they try it. It hasn't worked. So I think if they're going to do something, like I kind of liked when Kerfoot was on the wing. I think that's where he's best suited. It seems like it anyway. So leave him on the wing with Tavares and Nylander. Even last night, put Mikheyev up there if you need to do, you know, you're going to need another winger. You don't have Hyman. You don't have Thornton. Put Mikheyev there. Play Patan there. Rotate four guys through there. Whatever you want to do, leave those two guys, and then keep that second line and see if they can really get some, you know, get some connection. Because you're going to have to find something until Simmons is back and Thornton's back, and maybe you're going to rejig everything again then.
Well, maybe the answer is go out there and acquire Jeff Skinner and see if he can find a way to pick this guy's career up. I mean, he's a healthy scratch last night. They lose, of course. And, like, it's just, it doesn't matter what happens in Buffalo. It doesn't matter who the coach is, who the GM is, who they sign in the offseason. It's the same story. And, like, obviously Skinner is a big story because he's making $9 million a year for another six, and he was a healthy scratch last night. But I read the quotes from Ralph Kruger today. He's not letting Jack Eichel off the hook, and he shouldn't.
No kidding.
Eichel's
Thank
doing
you very
nothing.
Much.
Nothing down there. And Eichel loves talking in the offseason about what's wrong and what's right and what has to happen. Now it's time to perform. And I don't think they can get back into this. I think they're clearly an inferior team anyway. But it just feels like they are on a death march for the next 40 games. And then we're going to have the same questions at the end of the season again, right? With Buffalo.
Well, that's 10 years for the ownership, and they got to be getting a little tired of this too. That's going to be 10 years where they miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, like, Pegula.
Like, uncle, right? Like, so they've got big money tied up in Hall and Skinner and Eichel, and they've got virtually no production.
Ocposo.
Like that story. Well, that story that came out last week that Hall's willing to discuss an extension, I guess. He's got one goal.
No kidding. For what?
That's tough, man. What do you do, Ray? Like,
do you know what you do?
I like
you
Kevin Adams. He's a friend of mine. I played with
you
him.
You got to go to the wood here. Oh,
again. It's like not you mean right. Take it right down again.
Yeah, they're already there.
Yeah.
They don't have a choice. They have cap problems, and they're no good. So, if you're going to change the entire way you do business. You've got to change the way. You're not going to do anything with Skinner. What are you going to do? Nobody's going to take him. Not with that contract sitting there. I don't.
There he goes. That's over with.
Yeah.
Jerry Pegula grabbed his line. I wanted to get into this with you guys.
Well, what if Kevin Adams goes to Jerry Pegula and says, we got to rebuild this thing? And he says, actually, no, I think we're good. That's a problem. Yeah. That is a problem.
Well, Carla, you played for him, right? I think you played for Pegula. You're familiar with the market. I mean, forget Pegula. Imagine being a fan of the Sabres, a ticket holder, and thinking this is what I've been invested in for a decade. Miserable.
I've made some good friends over there, and it's every year I get the same text messages. Another year, same team, what the hell is going on? And I just, now I'm speechless. I don't really know. To me, when I first left there, I said that they had to cut a lot of the dead weight that they had on that team of guys just being comfortable there and comfortable with losing.
Yeah, I know, but Carlo, we can bring Ray back in. That's been going on for so long. Like, how many times do you add a guy and say, okay, we kind of solidified the goaltending, Eichel's got a winger, and they're still garbage, Ray?
Like, that's where Carlo's talking. Like, everything has to change, and it can't change if you've got the same characters there all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if they look to move Jack Eichel, there'll be plenty of people that are interested.
Yeah,
you'll be able to move Ristolainen. Like, I don't say you let's trade all the best players, but you have to change the record. It's going around and around and around. It's going to be a decade.
It's crazy because they bottomed out for McDavid. They got Eichel.
And Hayes, that's the problem. If you bottom out again, there's no guarantee that there is a Matthews, that there is a McDavid in the future. I haven't heard Craig mention anybody that's coming up that's the next McDavid. So it's a crapshoot once you tank. And you've got to tell Jerry Pegula, listen, we've got to get rid of everything. There's no guarantee of being good after that.
So and especially now, you talk about junior hockey, there hasn't been any this year.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to tell who the go-to guy is for the number one pick?
Well, you can probably go a lot worse than drafting the 6'5" defenseman out of Michigan. Owen Power is probably a pretty relatively safe pick if you get to that spot. But
Ray, they thought they had that in Dahlin.
I know.
What's up with that guy?
But that's not. You can't hang that on Buffalo, I don't think, because everybody else had Dahlin rated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody said, man, franchise changer, game changer, and he's just not been. So I think if you're moving these pieces out, you're going young and cheaper, and you're not blowing the budget out with $8 million contracts. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for them. Mm-hmm. The problem is you rebuild, you're like, if you say I'm going down to the wood, which I don't think they really have much choice, you're looking at another 3 or 4 years. That means they might not make the playoffs for 15 years.
Well, they're probably on track to do that anyway. And then I think on top of it, you got to say, this is my plan, but also I need you to sign here, initial here, initial here. We're buying out Jeff Skinner, the guy who we just convinced you was worth
$9 million.
Okay,
I read this, Hayes. I might have this wrong. I think the buyout goes to 2033.
Right. It's Bobby Bonilla.
12 years.
Bobby Bonilla had a 25-year buyout. Oh, I wish a team would have bought me out like that.
Could you imagine that? Right.
How did that go down, though, Hayes? Like, how did that go down? He scored 40 goals. Did Jack Eichel tell our ownership, Jerry, like, you got to sign this guy as my left winger? Or did he just hold the organization hot? Like, how did...
I think he took advantage of his leverage. I give him full credit. Like, he was a rock star that year. He had a great year. Put up
40
great numbers.
40 goals.
Playing with
Remember,
Eichel.
He scored like 28 in the first half of the season, too.
Bingo, Carlo. Mm-hmm. Bingo. Right? They signed a guy in a career year that scored most of the goals in the first 2.5 months of the year. And, it's still 40 goals, right? You know, 40-40. It's pretty impressive. But he's a look through his numbers, and he should be a 25-plus goal guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no doubt about it. He should be in that range. He went from 40 to 14.
He picked a good time to get horny, though, I'll tell you that.
No kidding.
Man. Oh, man, the career year and the contract year. Wow. Oh.
And the market. Listen, that's a market that's insecure. The fans were like, you better sign him. We got a guy finally to play with Jack. Eichel was probably in their ear like, hey, this guy's working out pretty well for me, too. And he used the leverage. And I give him full credit. You're worth whatever a team's willing to pay you. Yeah. And they gave it to him. They
well,
gave him a $9 million deal.
You can see, though, like, what was their other option? They had two options, I guess. Trade him at the trade deadline or let him walk for nothing. Mm-hmm. And neither of those were very appealing, probably,
I'm telling you, Eichel was a factor in that because it's like Eichel was bitching and complaining the Sabres are never good, and they were like, wow, we can't let this 40-goal score go because then Jack's going to say we keep letting talent go. And I'm telling you, man, he's a factor in all of it. Now he's got a lot to say, but he ain't playing that well either. Not even close.
No, he's not. He's not. Since they've come back from that COVID shutdown, I think he has 2 assists. That's it. Like he
got healthy scratch last night.
Well, you're talking about Skinner. I'm talking about Eichel. Like Eichel,
oh, I'm sorry.
Eichel's
yes.
not putting up
yes.
like he's not putting up rock star points, which will be there at some point. He's too good of a player. He's a really good player. But
so I want to propose this to you guys. You talk about getting rid of his contract. Let's look at the three worst contracts in the league right now: Skinner, Bobrovsky, and Erik Karlsson. Do you think before buying any of those guys out, you try to manufacture a deal like Skinner for Bobrovsky? And see if you can find some magic for both players.
Bobrovsky's not that bad, is he? I know Darren Drieger's playing a lot more of the games, but
yeah, he's worth. What is he making? 10 a year, 10 and a half,
10 a year for another six.
Six.
I'm not giving up. I'm not going Skinner on that guy.
No.
I think.
Okay, I got another contract to throw in there too. Two of them actually. What about Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson in Nashville?
Ooh.
Right,
dude.
Both.
You couldn't get anyone to take those contracts. You couldn't get anyone to take those. They talk about I love when they say they got a rebuild and everyone's safe except for this guy and that guy. Yeah. No one wants that whatsoever. Period. Yeah. Period.
Well,
but if you're doing one for one, maybe you hope that like there's a Lucic for a Neil deal.
For Neil, that's what we saw.
Right?
You're right. I that has potential where two teams are like, we're a mess. We've got a grenade on our hands. Why don't we switch it up and see if we can find life? Like maybe that happened, but it says something about how limited you are in your options. You know,
that's
like
basically just, here's my bag of rocks. I'll take your bag of rocks. They both make the same money, about the same money. Let's see if it works in your place or my place. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And furthermore, I would assume they all have no trade clauses. Like there's a chance you could get a team like maybe Ottawa or Detroit if they feel like we're 3-4 years down the road. We got to hit the floor, and you call them up and say, we'll take it, but we need like a first, a second, and a high-end prospect. the player would probably say, I'm not waiving to do that anyway. Like, I'm not going to be just a mercenary and head back to Ottawa or go to Detroit or whatever. So I'm not even sure that that's feasible and a possibility. So, yeah, man, there's some ugly contracts out there. And I think in terms of Buffalo, at the very least, Taylor Hall, you can't even entertain the idea of bringing him back. Like, you can't even think
not
about
it. Not at
that
price tag.
No chance. Like, you can't commit to it. And I don't know what he's going to make. I'd be nervous if I was Hall, because he has not looked so good either. And I think he's 30 now, or pushing up on 30.
He'll be 30 this year, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that MVP year all of a sudden is in the rear view. And that was an outlier anyway.
Who should be more nervous right now? Taylor Hall or Philip Deneau, who turned down $30 million in the offseason and has zero goals?
Right. They are turning
I
on
just
Phil.
Have no idea. Like, if I'm his agent, I'd fire the client.
Agent, I'm firing him.
The agent's got to tell him to sign that. Like, you're just not – what the hell kind of money is he thinking he's going to get?
Oh, the agent should have grabbed his hand and etched an X on the contract.
Yes. I would have just said it's agreed to. He's signing it no matter what. Don't even call back, because I'm not even bringing it to the player's attention. It's agreed upon. Bank it. And I'll tell the guy.
He was Philip Deneau. Like, he's a really good, smart, two-way defensive player, but he's not – like, what is he thinking?
What was the contract again? 5 times 6?
Yeah. 6 times 5. 6 year
six
deal,
times 5
a year.
All day long. Oh, now he's going to be looking for, like,
he's going to be Tyson Berry.
A job.
Like a 1 year deal, like 3.5 next year or something.
Yeah.
You know, he might get more than that, but yikes. Yeah, that hurts, man. You hear those stories over the years. Cody Franson here in Toronto allegedly turned down a pretty decent chunk of change.
I think that's the same
deal.
Six million.
Yeah, it was a long-term deal at decent money. Ended up signing as like a PTO or something.
He signed in Buffalo with me that year. 2 years, right. $6 million.
He's looking at you as his D partner. He's like, what went south here?
What a brutal turn of events.
Just a few short months ago, I had bank. Now I got Carlo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
What is this all about? I need to get my agent on the line. Stats. Yeah. Anyway.
Carlo and Cody Franson are going to be on the Jerry Pagula, like, ancestry tree of doom. The tree of doom. Carlo and Cody will
Franson.
Be on there.
I would have taken the 10-year buyout, though, that's for sure.
No kidding.
$1 million a year. The Bobby Bonilla. Actually, Steve Phillips is the one that gave that to him, and he's coming up.
Yeah, Steve's coming up. We'll ask him about that. How's that working out for you, Steve? That's why you're talking to us now. Anyway, all right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05.
You betcha. Have a good one. Happy birthday, Ulf.
There it
Thanks,
is.
Pal.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. If you're looking to lower your car payments, downsize your vehicle, or trade in two cars for one visit, MapleToyota.com, or book an in-person appointment.